Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Tour set, pop!
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some... King Namjoon is fucking back.
Yes. Or comeback is here. Yay.
Then you are in the right place. So guys, in today's episode, we are going to talk about Armypedia and the BTS talk show that concluded it, as well as obviously touching on the comeback trailer for
Actually we would not have gotten to if we didn't postpone recording this week. So I'm so glad we did.
Me too. But before we get into it, you guys, we have to thank you for being here and for supporting us. If you are a fan of this show and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by telling people about the podcast and also by writing a review on whatever platform you listen on. And if you want to go above and beyond, and if you'd like to show us a little bit more support, you could do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/stanningbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. And any type of support is super appreciated, guys. We're just glad you're all here with us.
You know, this past week, I was thinking about the concept that a stranger would send us money. Is I crazy.
Know. I know.
And some of you do. And those
we're
of you
so
who do,
fortunate. We're so
we
grateful.
So grateful. Like, you know, we just make a podcast about seven amazing people that we all love so much. Mm-hmm. And when you guys reach out to us and support us in any way, we are so grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, obviously, let's talk about this comeback trailer.
Yeah.
So we are recording late, like you said, because of a bunch of different factors.
Yeah.
Mostly, you have been sick.
I've been sick, so I sound a little stuffed up today, but not as bad as I would have if we recorded yesterday, like we normally would have. But also, you had gotten home, you were pretty tired, you are getting back into the swing of things after spring break. So, yeah, it's just multiple factors. So we just recorded late, but this should still come out on Thursday. So it's not like it was a big deal. But we are so glad that we waited and postponed because today is Wednesday, March 27th, and they released Map of the Soul Persona comeback trailer today.
Yes. So I almost feel like sometimes this happens to us where we end up recording late and then they drop something.
Yeah.
So we get to talk about it. So I almost feel like it's meant to be. So we're just going to kind of give our initial reactions to this comeback trailer, this intro song to Map of the Soul Persona.
We have to. We have to.
Of course. We aren't going like... We're not talking about theories, okay? Because every single time every single time I do this, I dive in and then I sound like an idiot when the actual album and music video for the hit track comes out. So we're just going to wait because what I do know, this is our fourth comeback.
Yeah, it's which crazy. Is crazy. When you said that, so I had to count on my fingers how many comebacks we have experienced. And this is our fourth. It's hard to believe.
It's crazy. But we at least know by now that we don't know anything, at least until the album comes out.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's just talk about this album. Let's just talk about this trailer.
So when I got to work, I got the notification that they were on V Live, or that there was a V Live notification that I got. And I thought, oh my gosh, they had to have dropped something. They didn't post a run episode. I know they didn't. So I quickly hopped over to YouTube, found that they had dropped the trailer. And so I was like, yes, all of my patients are eating breakfast right now. I just left the building, went into my car, watched it because I had to like blare it, of course. And so that was my first time, and I immediately sent it to you. So right at the beginning, I think we all had the same kind of reaction. We got that the school love affair intro right at the beginning there.
Yeah.
And it was just very familiar sound. Similar drawings, cartoons, and I was like, oh my gosh,
what is
happening? And then we saw the school classroom with the chalkboard, with all of the writing on the chalkboard, the desk kind of astray throughout the room. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Namjoon with his bleach hair. It was just a parallel, just boy in love, school love affair coming back in a sense, but like, you know, it's like a sister of it. This intro is like a sister to the school love affair one.
Yeah. At least like the vibe is totally,
vibe.
It's like
the
vibe. It's
that
like that classic
immediate reaction.
Yeah, me too. That, that classic hip hop, it totally, obviously it starts out with that same like sound bit from the school love affair intro. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that vibe, but I think it's like evolved, you know, they've grown, they've changed, they've learned. But okay, so I was at work. It was my plan, and you texted me like 3 or 4 times in a row. And so I checked, and it had been like 9 minutes since the video came out. So I went and watched it, and I watched it like 6 more times as I was like planning and like getting, you know, like preparing, like I was like doing papers and stuff, whatever. So I was like totally blown away by it. I felt like I couldn't absorb everything that was happening. And I just initial gut reaction was, this is incredible. This is like Namjoon in his full form. Like, I mean, he fucking laid those lines out. Like the rap, the flow just kept building the entire time. I was blown away. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The rap style that he does in this is very similar to the rap style, back in the day that he has done that kind of classic hip hop style, and where he's like you said, laying it out there. He's empowering almost. Like, I was trying to describe the vibe of the song, like what I really feel when I listen to it. Mm-hmm. And I just feel empowered. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, he's like inspiring all of us with the way he's rapping and how he's rapping it.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. Mm-hmm. That's like, you can't help but feel like excited and inspired and like ready to dive into whatever this is, like with him. That's what it feels like. I think like we were already obviously super excited for comeback and like really impatient for comeback, right? But
so
this
impatient.
Coming so impatient. But this actually dropping brought my excitement level to like a whole new place. Mm-hmm.
We're 2 weeks out.
We're 2 fucking weeks out, you guys. Oh, man. Goddamn.
Yeah.
So we're just really excited.
Yeah. There's a lot of theories going around. We're really not going to get into it, but some people are paralleling a lot of what we're seeing with BTS members right now, like with their recent concert in Hong Kong. We saw that Jungkook has an undercut, and he also has an undercut during the Boy in Love, School Love Affair era. So there's that kind of parallel. There's maybe a little bit of a parallel between Jimin's Nevermind tattoo that we also have seen in previous BTS performances. So we don't really know, but we're excited.
We're so excited.
We don't know if this album is going to be anything like School Love Affair, but who knows? I'm excited.
Yeah. Me too. Whatever it is, it's going to be incredible. And also we should just mention, hit on that the lyrics in the song are so deep. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's a really fast paced song. It's like 2 minutes and 39 second runtime, but mm-hmm. the lyrics are incredibly deep. And I can't wait until we do have the music video. We do have Comeback and we can kind of talk about it some more and spend like an episode on it.
I think we should. Yeah, definitely. Because when I was going through the lyrics, it took me at least a half an hour to fully comprehend what the lyrics were saying and what Namjoon was trying to say. So yeah, that's just a whole topic episode in itself.
Completely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about our content of the week. And you already mentioned mine a little bit, because for me, I just need to talk about BTS in Hong Kong for a minute.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what the fuck is in the water in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of air they're breathing over there. I don't know what they're doing, what they're feeding them, but all of BTS, all of them looked fucking just incredible at these Hong Kong concerts. There was four
really
of them.
They were really angelic. That angelic is the best way to describe it. I don't know if it was the lighting on them or what, but they looked angelic.
Yeah. And also just all of them looked, I mean, they were super energetic. They all looked fucking hot. Like, next level. And I need to specifically talk about my main man, Jimin, because I think I probably sent like 10 pictures of him in the group chat over the course of like 2 days just from these Hong Kong concerts, because he just looks so goddamn incredible and like ethereal, you know, just amazing. I could not get over it. Yeah. And there was a bunch of like live clips of them singing and they sounded fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Just BTS.
They looked rested.
They
brought so much energy to the stage in Hong Kong. Everyone who went to the Hong Kong concerts, wow, you are so fortunate. Not that they weren't this energetic and excitable at all the other concerts, but this particular concert, maybe it's just we haven't seen it in a while, I'm not sure, but they looked refreshed almost. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I kind of ignore all the hashtags on Twitter for whenever they're at a concert venue. Like, you know, I'll see them pop up or whatever, but I never make it a point to like go search for them and like really consume like videos and pictures from a certain concert. Like if it comes up, it comes up. Yeah. But my feed was overwhelmed with Hong Kong. So I just feel like it just must have been on another level for everyone to stop and take notice.
That's
what I have to share this week. If you haven't, go look at like BTS in Hong Kong on Twitter. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Great pictures, great videos, lots of fan service. So fun.
So fun.
I believe they only have one more concert left, I believe, in Thailand. I could be wrong about that, but for the Love Yourself tour. And now we're about to get the Speak Yourself stadium tour. So my BTS content for the week is somewhat random and very unexpected for me. I was expecting it to be either Armypedia related or, like you said, the Hong Kong performances. So mine is actually Hope World, just the album. The whole album.
In general.
So okay. I haven't told Kayla this story yet. It's really not even that much of a story. But I have been so sick. Like, I'm pissed at how sick I've been. I'm over it. I'm done. But I was sick all weekend. I had to call into work Monday, which I really hate doing. I like never do it. So on Tuesday, I basically like my patients have a certain amount of treatment time and like they deserve that treatment time. They need that treatment time. So I was trying to work with my supervisor, like how can I get their treatment time in? I'm the only OT, everything else. And so she's like, oh, you'll just do 4-10s this week. Well, on Tuesday, I was still feeling like complete shit. Honestly, probably still shouldn't have gone into work, but I did. I like wore a mask and stuff. But I went in and I just was driving to work and I felt miserable. I'd taken so much DayQuil to try to get over my symptoms. And I thought, you know what I need to do right now? I need to put myself in a positive mood. I cannot go in feeling miserable with this idea like, oh, I'm going to be here for 10 hours or plus, whatever. So I'm like, I need Hope World right now. I need to be put in some good spirits. So I turned on Hope World and my commute is exactly like 22 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And so I got to listen to the whole album from start to finish. Oh. And like outro Blue Slide was finishing up right as I pulled into the parking lot. And I just thought, wow, I am ready to take on today.
Oh my God. Amazing. Then,
I know. And then when I got off work, I actually was feeling better. I got in the car. I turned on Hope World again. I listened to it on the way back home. And it was just, my day was saved by J-Hope. Is my content of the week. I have to give a shout out to him because Hope World is, it, you know, has this curing effect. So.
Yes, it so does.
The
wow.
best medicine.
It is the best medicine. I love that. That's such an amazing choice for you for this week. And I'm glad that it helped you feel better.
Yeah. And I know it was so random, but I'm like, I have to mention it. It had such an effect on me. Okay. Yeah. There's me getting sentimental. So let's get into today's episode, which is about Armypedia. So what is Armypedia? I feel like I have been out of the loop and with Same. Armypedia, I have not been or had not been participating in it at all. I feel really guilty of that. I feel almost like a bad, unsupportive army for not doing it. But it just wrapped up. It just finished up. So we definitely need to talk about it. And it's really an amazing project that Big Hit put on.
Yeah, we thought, you know, now's the time for us to finally figure out what it is and what's going on. Because I think
I feel like we kept pushing it to the side or something.
We were.
Without saying.
Well, it was like we saw the thing about the puzzle pieces, but I think both of us internally were like, there's not going to be any puzzle pieces where I live. Mm-hmm. So I was like, whatever this is, I'm not a part of it. I'm not going to try. But then, like you said, I just
Idaho,
felt guilty.
No
Kansas City, no.
Yeah.
But I just felt guilty, like you said, like that I didn't know what was going on, kind of felt like a bad army.
Yeah.
So here are some facts about Armypedia. Armypedia is an archive. Oh, by the way, this is taken right from the Armypedia website. So Armypedia is an archive of records and they're created by Army all over the world. It consists of 2,080 days, which is from the first day that BTS debuted, June 13th, 2013. And they go until the eve of Armypedia's unveiling on February 21st of 2019. So armies all over the world had to search for these puzzle pieces. And basically it was like a QR code, which is, you know, you like scan it with your phone and it takes you to a website. Well, it takes you to this Armypedia website. And on this QR code poster, it said, "Hey, Army, lost this." And these posters could show up anywhere. They can show up in real life or they can show up online. Mm-hmm. I think people found them on like the Love Yourself website. People have seen them on Twitter,
all over
online, all over in the world, in LA, New York,
Paris,
all over Asia, just like everywhere. So all 2,080 pieces basically had to be found. And once an army found a puzzle piece, then any army could go to that day and leave a memory or leave a picture or leave a tweet or leave, you know, just anything either personal to them about BTS from that date or something that BTS was doing on that date. So it's kind of like Armypedia, it's like an encyclopedia day by day, like a daily history of all things BTS.
It's so incredibly amazing how that they pulled this all together and the way that they went about doing it. So it kicked off on February 25th. Mm-hmm. And so Army had a span of 4 weeks to find they had to find 2,080 puzzle pieces. And then that would open up a card for each one of those dates in those 2,080 days that BTS have been active and been together. And so, like you said, once a card got unlocked, then ARMY could freely upload something about BTS related to that day, whether it was something they were doing or a special memory, which that is just so great about it, is because you can really go to any date and time. And not only do you get to see what other people, why that date is special to them, but you also get to see what BTS was doing on that day. That is just, this is what we've been looking for. This is what this podcast has needed. How many times have we done ship episodes and we're watching things and we're thinking, oh, it's around this era, it's around this time, but we don't know what it's from, what they were doing. And now if we have like a general idea, we could potentially find it on ARMYpedia.
Yes.
Or if you just want to go and think about, oh, what was BTS doing on this day 2 years ago? Because you know that they're active every day practically. Something is happening consistently. Yeah. They're so busy. I don't know how they do it. But something you can do on ARMYpedia is you can purple heart other ARMY's post. And then you can also, at a certain amount of hearts, there's like a top memory to that particular date. A lot of the top memories are the things that they were doing that day. Mm-hmm. But it's just really, really great. So all 2,080 puzzle pieces were found. They're all together. They're filled with special memories and things that BTS were doing on that day. So it's completed. And while this was all going on, there are, like, you had to like make an account and everything. So the people who were able to find these cards and the codes and everything and answer the questions, they all ended up getting prizes, the people who found the most.
Yeah. And so I think it was like you could get special like rewards for like having the most points, but also the first people to find each card, like the first person to access card 1,002. Yeah. So there was like kind of two different categories. So I'm going to talk about the prize winners of the first person who got a specific card. And this doesn't mean like card number one to card 2,080. It's just like the first person who got the card to the 10th person who found any card. So the first to the 10th who found any one of the cards, they got 100,000 big hit shop points, which is like $1,000 worth of merchandise. The 11th to 100th place people got 10,000 big hit shop points, which is close to $100 of merch. 101st to 1,000th got 5,000 points, so like $50 worth. And then from 1,001st all the way to 280th, they got 1,000 points, so like $10 of merch. So just super cool that there was.
That is so neat.
I mean, I think the ARMY would have gone out and searched for this and like put this puzzle together regardless of having the incentive of a prize. Yeah,
exactly.
So I think it's
for
cool
free.
That big hit. Yeah, of course, for free. Like, because it's just cool. It's like an awesome activity. But I think it's cool that big hit rewarded.
They were
rewarding
us for the amount of effort that we had to go through to really create this whole encyclopedia of BTS.
Yeah.
How great. Because I mean, for them, basically. I mean, Big Hit, this was such a creative idea. I thought it was just such a creative idea because Big Hit could have gone and made this. They could have been very detailed about it and very tedious, but instead they made it into where ARMY's being active and it's more personalized. It's not just about the history and facts of BTS. There is the personal aspect where they're sharing stories, ARMY's sharing stories about these dates that they're finding.
Yeah. Here's what I would like. Since ARMYpedia, since the event concluded, you can no longer upload things on any day. You can't do that anymore. You can only see, you can still make an account to log on to access it all, but you can only see what's there. And I kind of wish that they would just leave it open and offer, you know, more QR codes for more days, or just, you know, have more days pop up so that people can fill it in and populate it with information. So that way this can continue to be a resource to find information about BTS, because for now it's just only going to go through February 21st of 2019.
Well, they'll just do it again.
I mean, yeah, maybe they'll do it again. That's true.
Yeah. But it is crappy that you can't add a story now to it. But yeah. It's also kind of interesting and neat that they added that component, because mm-hmm. then it's not just like exploding with like all these stories and making it harder to find things. But yeah, totally.
But overall, we just think that it's a super cool idea, and it's really awesome. It's a great resource. It's amazing mm-hmm. that we can look up any day in BTS's history and see tweets and fan signs and covers of songs and concerts and literally anything.
I'm sure you can find so much on it. Yeah. Like, we went back when they had debuted, and they were at a fan site in Thailand, and we're like, wow, this is great.
And they were so cute. Like, babies. So small babies.
Really tiny. Uh-huh. So with this ARMYpedia, Big Hit had two events in Seoul to really kind of launch and celebrate it and to end it. So the two events, the first one was on March 10th at Seoul Plaza, and that was Run ARMY in Action. And so Run ARMY in Action, it was held for the fifth term of BTS's official fan club, ARMY, and all the ARMYs gathered together in Seoul Plaza, and they were able to just reminisce and enjoy BTS's past 2,080 days through this online event and offline as well. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool, just to have this gathering of people. Like, it was just so many people in one place, all these ARMYs, and BTS wasn't even there, but everyone was there to just watch and reminisce over BTS's history.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah. And then the second event was on March 23rd, which was kind of bringing it all to an end. So it was called ARMY United in Seoul. And so this was the end event. It had a crowd of over 10,000 ARMYs gathered together at the Oil Tank Culture Park in Seoul. And it was to celebrate the memories again of BTS, with the event being live streamed around the world through BTS's official YouTube and Bangtan TV. And then that also had over 130,000 viewers throughout the world.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So 140,000 people basically in attendance of this event. And that's not even including the, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who watched later. You know, who mm-hmm. watched later. So let's talk about this this talk show, which is what the crowd watched on March 23rd.
Yeah, with ARMY United.
Yeah. So at ARMY United, kind of before they saw the talk show, they were playing different just BTS songs, and everyone got to like sing along together. I'm assuming that would be very, very cool. It's kind of like the beginning of a concert experience, when they're playing songs and we're just singing along, hyping everyone up. So, sorry. So after we see this, they start the talk show, and I just want to talk about the setting of where BTS is hanging out for this talk show. So they're in like a recording studio, and it's just like a square room. It's covered in this light wood, maybe like a birch, on the floors and on the walls. And in the middle of the back wall, there's like thin vertical cutouts from the wood running from floor to ceiling, and they leave like this black negative space behind, and in the middle of two of them is like a long light, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm talking about, like two lights, mm-hmm. and so that kind of like adds to the lighting effect in like a little interesting way. And then on the side of that little cutout, there are there's the artwork of their albums hanging on the wall.
Yeah, it looks very calm and peaceful, mm-hmm, the room,
for sure. Very zen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very zen. So of course, inside the studio is BTS, so they're all sitting on stools in the middle of the room. And so the formation of the chairs is in this slight semicircle. So from left to right, we have Namjoon, Jungkook, Jimin, Yoongi, Jin, Taeyang, and then Hoseok at the very end.
Yeah. So let's talk about their outfits before of course.
Because they have to choose these outfits for these events. Yeah. Thinking, oh, we're about to be in front of all these ARMYs. Of course we got to look good.
Yeah. And we think that it's very clear that they all dressed themselves, that they were not dressed by like a stylist. And we think that like the way that they're sitting is kind of just to balance the colors and like of what they're wearing. Yeah. So I'll get started with Namjoon because of course we're going in fan chant order as always. So Namjoon is wearing this white graphic t-shirt underneath a silk navy blue jacket that has white trim. And this jacket is almost identical in style to that amazing olive green jacket that he wore arriving in LA for Billboard 2017.
Oh, yes. that is just one of the best outfits he's ever worn. Really.
I know.
I'm glad you chose that for Airport Fashion. God, that was such a good episode. I loved that.
Me too. So it's identical in style to that, except for instead of being like padded, like canvas material or like suede-y, it's silk. So very chic, very June. Love it. Mm. He's also wearing khakis, straight up khakis. But he's a thick daddy in these khakis. And then on his feet, he's wearing these chunky white tennis shoes.
Yeah. He works the khakis.
He worked them.
Yeah. So Jin, he is in this navy jean-esque button-down shirt that has these thick white horizontal stripes on the left sleeve. And I just have to throw in, I had to look up the difference between button-up and button-down shirt. This is one of the things that you just learn through doing a podcast because I realized I was saying button-up and button-down interchangeably. And then I thought, is there an actual difference between the two? And there
is. Or is it just like a local term, you know, like a local difference? Yeah,
exactly. But there is an actual difference, according to a quick Google search. But a button-down shirt, to be classified as button-down, the collar of the button-down shirt has to have buttons that also hold the collar down. And so I believe his is a button-down shirt because there are buttons, but you can see them, so I'm not entirely sure, but whatever. We're going to go with button down.
There's buttons where he could button down his collar if he wanted to, but he has chosen not to.
Yes.
Yes.
But he is wearing these black fitted dress pants, and they pair really well with the button down shirt that he's wearing. He also has black sneakers on that have white soles.
He looks good.
Yeah, always.
Okay. So Yoongi is wearing this oversized knit camo printed sweater, and it has this really deep, big V-neck, and it's outlined in red with like a red and white stripe. Mm-hmm. Very bold, like, you know, red against camo. Yes. He's also wearing these light wash skinny jeans that are just amazing. They're so snug. They're like ripped in all the right places. He's wearing them really well.
They contrast so much to the camo printed sweater. Yeah. So really, there's so much loudness coming from the camo, but there is also a lot of loudness coming from these light wash skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm. It's really making Yoongi stand out. Like, he's seated in the middle because
he's smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, his outfit doesn't go with anyone else's. He's the only one wearing red, and he's just, it's really making him stand out. Yeah. He's also wearing these like black, kind of like, I think, Converse on his feet with white laces.
So J-Hope, the members said that his outfit is really, quote, big, like it takes up a lot of space, that which it kind of does. He looks large, but wow, he looks so expensive.
Yeah.
But he has this white t-shirt with someone on it peeking through the zipper. We don't really know who it is. It looks like maybe a rapper or a celebrity of some sort. But he has this oversized black hoodie or black coat. Like the hood is lined with this fluff and fur, which adds to the expensive look, but it's large and it's bulky. And he's matching it with these black sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks so cool. Expensive, rich, fine.
But you know what it is? Is that like, it's not just like a sweatshirt or like sweatpants. the you can tell it's expensive. Like the reason the why fabric. He looks expensive, the yeah. fabric, it's like the fabric holds itself up and bulks mm-hmm. itself all the way around him. And yeah. so, yeah, it just looks really nice. Like it's laying
it
on him
like
really nice.
It looks like a fur coat. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, except
it
for
is
it's a fucking sweatsuit. Like,
yeah. but paired with this, he has these black and white checkered tennis shoes over white and red striped socks. And then he also has thin silver chains.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So Jimin is wearing a varsity jacket, which is kind of like a Letterman jacket, if you know what that is, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have all the shit all over it and it's not like puffy. Usually varsity jackets are like a little more fitted. So mm-hmm. The style of this varsity jacket is like a black torso, like vest area, and white sleeves, like white leather sleeves. And then he has black and white trim on it, like around the neck and around the wrist. Mm-hmm. He's also wearing these very skinny black jeans. Like those legs are, wow.
Highlighted.
Yes. Yeah. And then he also is wearing these amazing, they just really lengthen him, these black pointed toe ankle boots. I love a good pointed toe shoe.
Yeah.
And some of the things that
so
he
chic.
Does, it's so chic. And some of the ways that he like sits during this video, we'll talk about. But like the pointed toe really just makes his lines just mm-hmm. look amazing. So mm-hmm.
it
wow.
suits him really well.
Really well.
So Taeyong, I think the best accessory that he's wearing is he's got a blue baseball cap on and he's got it on backwards. So there's no strap to it. It's exactly like a cap, how it should be, like a traditional baseball cap. But he's got it up on his forehead that you can see a little bit of forehead, but his whole face is just highlighted and his honey glowing skin is shining through. He looks really good with it, but he has just a simple yellow t-shirt on that he paired with this tan puffy coat. But it's a very nice tan, kind of like a khaki-esque, I would say, that color. Mm-hmm. It's really subtle and it pairs so well with this yellow t-shirt that he has on. And then he also has these darker tan fitted pants, which I was shocked that they were fitted. They are not loose. They're well formed to his body, straight legged, cut off at the ankle, just real nice. And then gotta point out his shoes. Leave it to Taeyong to find shoes that look kind of like tennis shoes that you would not expect to, well, these tennis shoes that you would expect to normally have a heel to them, but he found a pair that don't. So they're like slip-on tennis shoes and they're this dark brown color because I don't know if he just doesn't like wearing socks or he just feels restricted in shoes or what.
He has a problem with shoes, you know, like he always is taking them off, throwing them, having
he
his feet out.
Totally. He wants his feet out.
But these shoes, they literally have like laces on top.
Yeah.
But it's a slip-on with no heel.
It's a slip-on. Mm-hmm.
Also, I do not know the last time that like Taeyong was wearing fitted pants like these. I could not tell you.
No.
No. So Jungkook is wearing a black t-shirt with some white writing logo. And over that, he's wearing a black puffy jacket. No hood, just like a nice collar. It kind of has some, it has like a silver zipper and some other like stylish silver zippers on it. And the inside lining of it is red. So you kind of sometimes get like a little glimpse of that. He's also wearing black pants. Not sure what material they are. They look good. They're fitted. And he's wearing these large black Balenciaga-esque tennis shoes. Whether or not they are, I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. They're like yeah. the dad shoes that are expensive now.
I struggle with the shoes because I really don't know much about shoes. So I know that they all have really expensive shoes that probably are a very particular fashion sense or like they have a name to them. But they're either like sneakers, tennis shoes, slip-ons. I don't know what to call any of them. I'm sure they all have their particular names, but yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're chunky. They're large.
They have like a sole that's twice as big as the actual fabric of the shoe.
Mm-hmm. They got, like, a
okay.
platform.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
okay.
once we get into the video here, BTS, they begin talking about Armypedia just in general here. And Taeyang said that he went on to Armypedia and he read some of the comments and stories and things shared. And then they also shared that they themselves had gone on and posted too some of their stories on Armypedia, and some of them even put like selfies with it.
Yeah, which is very cool that they used it also. So if you get on Armypedia, maybe search for a BTS member's post.
Yeah.
So Namjoon told the group that they had prepared a short film to show their love for us. So they were going to show this to ARMY, and Jimin, like, he did not want to see it. And no. He's like, I don't want to look back on the past.
Yeah.
Namjoon is like so sweet and always knows what to say. And he says, our scars make up our constellations. And then Jimin replies, I want to erase that constellation.
Jimin,
which is
no.
Like, no, baby, it made you who you are today. Like, but I mean, I think
what
all of us can understand.
What a response to Namjoon's so poetic, positive statement. Our scars make up constellations. Ugh.
I know.
He would.
But basically what Namjoon was introing for us was a compilation of their previous eras, starting all the way from the beginning.
Yeah, and No More Dream.
Not only do we get to see the video, but we also get to see BTS reacting to the video.
Yeah. And so they're just watching themselves grow up, basically, from these wee little boys up to the men that they are now. And when it gets, this is just so funny, when it gets to the Blood, Sweat, and Tears era, Jungkook says, wow, we look so good.
It's so funny because Namjoon replied, this is where the power of money came in.
Yeah, they were actually starting to have income and they could
and like production
put a little bit
value.
More into their music videos. Yeah.
Right.
And then there is a small little compilation there at the end where they just show them accepting all of the awards that they have gotten over time. And what was so interesting about this part that really stuck out to me was Namjoon remembered, and I'm sure they all did, but Namjoon was speaking outwardly about particular awards he remembered getting. And he's like, oh, that's the first time we ever received that award, or, you know, so on and so on. Like, every award that they have received, they remembered so well, even though that they've received hundreds of awards.
Yeah. That was just like that at that point. If we weren't emotional watching this little video, we got emotional by then.
It took us there.
Yeah. And then to finish this video, we have the clip of BTS singing Born Singer, where it's the stage where they are on that circling stage that rotates and where they are singing out and then they turn around. And, you know, I think I've talked about this as my content of the week because it's such a good, it's such a like emotional, good performance. And it really brings us back to like, it grounds us in BTS and where they started. Cause if you guys
their
remember,
roots, yeah.
They came out with that song. They wrote that song before they debuted. And so for them to like end this, you know, kind of like looking back montage video with that song is just, you know, really emotional and special. Just to
very
say
special.
look how far we've come.
They had to put that in there. Anytime they're reflecting on their success, it just takes them back to where they began.
So humble.
Yeah.
So we also learned that we as ARMY were almost named Bangwul, which means I think bells in Korean. Thank God we're ARMY.
ARMY has a better ring to it. Pun intended.
Thank
I'm so
you.
Stupid. I'm sorry.
Thank you for that.
But yeah, so one of the things that I really liked too about it, and it was just so cute, was Jungkook was very talkative during this. I think that's kind of a rare thing for him. He can be a little bit to himself, not always want to be super talkative during like interviews and things like that. But he was, I felt that he was pretty comfortable with where he was. And so he was getting emotional and nostalgic watching this. He was probably one of the most talkative members. And so he was just saying how everything feels so surreal to him. And Yoongi, playing off of this, he said something like, "Oh, you didn't know? You've been hypnotized this whole time. Like, this hasn't been real." And then just, I don't know if they planned this or what, but all the members in unison joined together and they all snapped their fingers to, quote, wake Jungkook up back to when he was like 15 years old, and that this has all been a dream and he's been hypnotized. It was just cute and playful.
So cute.
And of course, Jungkook was laughing and smiling and he thought it was so fun.
It is, but like, okay. I just love that it still seems so surreal. And of course it does to Jungkook, who was like literally raised, literally grew into himself as a person in BTS. So
yeah,
how that must feel for him is just like, wow. We can't even fathom.
Must
be
surreal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So the next thing that happens is that Namjoon announces that their second gift to ARMY during this BTS talk show is performing their debut song, No More Dream.
Ugh.
So this is like, this is the main thing that we want to talk about today is their three live studio songs that they perform during this talk show, because they are incredible. So for the song performances, the setting lighting changes, the lights in the back become purple and the overhead lights kind of has this purple hue to it as well. And it's kind of it's like live instrument acoustic, so we can hear like strings in the background. This is, like I said, a live studio version, so it should be like a live instrument sound. And we can also hear that, like, along with some strings and piano, they're backed up by some drums and guitar.
And this is different for us because when we hear them, when we hear their vocals, they are usually at concerts where they're running around and performing and dancing. And so their pure, true vocal isn't going to be there because they're doing so many other, you know, active things that requires their breath to do. So their vocals aren't going to be the same. And honestly, I was thinking about this. The last time we really were able to see them sing like this was when they did like radio show stuff and they would sit and sing, which was forever ago. So when was the last time we really got to see them sit down and just sing like this for us? But going back to the room, I will say that this studio that they're in, the acoustics are incredible. Like, just the way that the room must be built, because like certain like concert halls and opera places, they have the architecture is to create this really nice acoustic to enhance the vocals and the sound that's coming through. So in these particular performances, this studio live performance that they did here. I don't know why. I need another word for performance.
Right.
But whatever. Yeah. This live studio that they did here, their voices just sound so pure. They're sitting in chairs. They're rested. They're able to really give us their all, and we get to hear just their true vocals coming through.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh, like hearing it was overwhelmingly beautiful, because I thought, wow, they are so skilled. They're already talented. They always have been. But just even now that they've grown up and they've been able to practice more and more and more, we've gotten to hear these such gorgeous, true, skilled, perfected voices.
Oh, yeah. Hearing No More Dream now with 2019 BTS, with how far they've come, how much more they have worked on themselves, and how much they've improved. I mean, every single note, every single cue, the backup vocals, every single thing about this performance was perfect. Spot on. Every single member. Nobody had anything that was like even slightly off. Like,
no, they feed off each other so well. I felt like they were improvising throughout, like adding in these fillers, mm-hmm. hyping each other up, adding in harmonies. It didn't seem rehearsed. It felt like it was just they were doing it, performing it live, that they were just thrown in there and they did this.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all the while were super energetic. They were vibing together. They were really feeling it together. I mean, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's super special and incredibly rare that we get to hear their voices this pure, this raw in a setting like this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we were watching this, we just want to describe how we felt, particularly for No More Dream. Mm-hmm. For me, and I think for you as well, is very nostalgic because No More Dream was their debut song. It just got us thinking about in the scope of Armypedia and how long it's been since their debut and how far they've come. And for them to sing this song for us, to take us back to their roots, back to their debut, it was just a very nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of us, you know, who weren't here for who weren't here for debut. We weren't ARMY yet. We didn't know about BTS. So when they perform the song, especially in this setting, it almost has this feeling. It makes us mm-hmm. feel like we're a part of it, or as if we were there when they debuted, because it's almost mm-hmm. like, you know, bringing us back to that. So yeah, for sure. Totally nostalgic.
Yeah. Yeah. And No More Dream, it's such a good song. For it to be their debut song and just hearing them sing it now, just like I said, they've come so far. Their skill level is beyond this world. Jungkook, I mean, he was 15. Like, he was still going through puberty. Is his voice, it was nowhere at that time, nowhere near its maximum capacity. And I bet mm-hmm. Big Hit and all of the BTS members saw that as well. So hearing it now is just extraordinary. His vocals and all of their vocals and rapping skills have just come so far.
Yeah. I mean, so true for all of
them.
I'm
being
members.
Redundant, but I just can't emphasize that enough. No, they are so
it's
talented.
It's so true. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's kind of our overall thoughts about No More Dream. We just loved that entire performance. That song was just, mm-hmm. I'm so happy that they chose that as one of them to perform.
Yeah. And the first one. So between that song and the next song that's played, they did a little trivia game about their music. And there were some very specific questions with multiple choice answers in order to get points. And so the winner with the most points would receive a secret prize.
Yeah. So here's some examples of some of the questions that they were asked. So they were asked, how many times do they say No More Dream in the song? They were also asked, in the No Music video, what time does Jungkook throw the chair? And the answers for this one had like minutes and seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. There was also one that said, which is not the official dope chant? And the last question was, which member did not wear a hat in the Just One Day dance practice music video? Which I bet that if you and I thought about it, we could get this right. Yeah. I know that Yoongi wore a hat and Jungkook wore a hat and Jimin wore a hat.
Yeah.
So that leaves
Taeyang, Hobi, Jin.
Namjoon, was Namjoon wearing a hat? Was he wearing that black hat or no?
Just One Day.
I don't remember now.
I don't know. That's a hard one. That's honestly, it's been a while since I've seen it.
I'm trying to
picture it right now. Yeah.
The way that we're struggling with it, BTS went back and forth and back and forth. Like, I mean, this was the question that they had the most guesses for. And this last question was worth 5 points as opposed to the 1 point the other ones were worth.
Yeah. So at the end, Jungkook and Jimin, they both had 3 points going into this final round, this final mm-hmm. question. But Taeyang ended up getting that final question, which was worth 5 points. So actually, Taeyang ended up winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was being a little pouty baby throughout. He was getting mad because he was trying to answer. But
He was trying to answer, but so many people were trying to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't getting called on. He was like, one person would call, they would get it wrong, and he would go up to try to like raise his picket to call, yeah. and somebody else would beat him to it. Like, he was getting so mad. I know. But he won. So he won the secret prize.
Yeah.
So then we go into the Just One Day live studio performance. So right at the beginning of this little performance, Namjoon is just such a dork.
Such a
dork.
In his
khakis. Sitting on his chair, and he's kind of like spinning it to say, yeah. just one day, one night.
He was so relaxed. He was having so much fun throughout this whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yoongi, so of course, this is like my ultimate favorite rap from Yoongi is Just One Day. But Yoongi just absolutely killing it with his rap from the start, accompanied by Jungkook's beautiful, I mean, beautiful backup vocals. And when I was hearing Jungkook just harmonizing and adding little fluttering pieces of harmony within, it just was like, I felt like he has such an amazing lullaby-esque voice. And I thought, oh, wow, how fortunate if he has kids someday that he will sing a lullaby to his children. And like, God. What a beautiful way to fall asleep. That's what it made me think of. I went that far with it.
I want that. Yeah, I love Jungkook just backing up Yoongi. Like we've said already, their voices are perfect in these performances. And just that lullaby voice in the background just really mm-hmm. adds what Yoongi's verse needs. And mm-hmm. it was this really amazing balance between like soft, melodic, and like really amazing rap. Mm-hmm. It's clear that they all love this song so much, even after all this time. They love singing it. They love performing it. And they're just all swaying back and forth in their seats, mm-hmm. Chanting, do it, do it, do it. Like everybody says it. And yeah. I love this. When they're doing this, it shows Namjoon kind of like thrusting, like as if, you know, you were like gonna pump if you were like, you know,
his pelvic, yeah,
yeah,
region,
yeah. So I just love that they decided to throw that clip into this video. Like in the midst of like this beautiful singing, we get Namjoon like biting his lower lip and saying, "Do it, do it, do it."
Oh, he's such a dork. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, yeah, just all of their vocals, the vocal line does such a great job for this song. This song is, it's a coffee shop kind of song too. Yeah. This Just One Day.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to point out that during his verse, June tries so hard to keep that index finger down around his mic.
Yeah, he keeps flicking it up and down. It's like he notices it and he becomes hyper aware about it.
Yeah, but he just can't help it. It's like they told him, hey, you know, try not to put your finger up because we're trying to film this. You're going to block your face. And so he like is conscious that he shouldn't put it up, but it just keeps on floating up. And like eventually it just stayed there and he was just like, fuck it.
And just going off of that, Namjoon, really, he stands out so much because he's being such a goofball. But there's this part where he is miming, like he is crawling up a box, like he's in a box. But mm-hmm. as he's crawling up at the top, when the song, there's like a symbol of a drum played at one point in the song. And so he crawls up this box. And right when that goes to play, he acts like he's hitting. He like mimes hitting a symbol of a drum or like a bell. So cute.
Just so cute. And at the same, I noticed that across the circle, Taeyang was also kind of doing that just a little bit. Like there was major V-mon connection all day throughout this talk show.
Which also V-mon can be called Taejoon. I found this out. I was like, because he's not Rap Monster anymore. So I was like, there has to be a new ship name.
Taejoon. I love that. Taejoon.
I do too. I like it.
It's a good ring.
So Jin's verse at the end, I couldn't help but to recognize his vocals because they have just come so, so far. His voice, even though he's the eldest member, his voice has come so, so far. It is so full, so steady. And on top of it, very confident. Jin, I feel like throughout all of BTS here, their history and their success, Jin has really been able to grow into himself and grow confidence with himself. And I just had that kind of that thought. And I think you had that thought too, just listening to Jin's vocals and during this, this live studio version.
Oh yeah, for sure. He went into every line with no reservations on how he was going to approach it and sing out the note, and just, he carried every note just so beautifully with his voice. I mean, truly warm and velvety and a rich, full sound coming from his vocals.
Mature. Yeah.
So, I mean, so mature. It just was so wonderful
skilled,
to listen to.
Well-versed. Yes.
Yeah. And then I have to talk about Jimin's high notes at the end of this song, because I have never, ever, ever heard him sing these high notes like this.
These, like, harmonies.
His harmonies.
Harmony is so hard. Harmony is difficult. And he did it so flawlessly.
He just brings it up out of nowhere. And it's just this, we've described it before as his voice, these high notes being like the cherry on top. And truly in this song is how these notes act, but I have just never heard him sing it with so much confidence and so much just precision and attention to detail in, like, his vocal control and these small little trills that he has going on. He sounds like a songbird.
He does sound like a songbird.
Yes. And I don't know if this is a weird connection, but just bear with me. If you've seen Les Mis, okay, the musical from, I don't know, like what, 20, I don't know, whatever, the newest one, 13, Hugh Jackman.
Something like that.
2013, probably. So in Les Mis, Amanda Seyfried is in that movie, or Seyfried, I don't know. She's in that movie and she sings a lot of the, like, the very highest soprano parts, and her voice always had, like, these really beautiful but very controlled little tiny trills in the notes that she was carrying out just consistently. And that is what I thought of when I heard Jimin in this song. Like, that's what he's doing. Like, that's where he's at now.
I agree.
Dude. So I was just blown away. I literally wanted to cry because he sounded so good. And I'm just so proud of him and happy for him.
We had never heard him do that, at least with this song. So it was totally out of the blue. We're not expecting it. Weren't prepared. And it comes through. It's more than just background. It's coming through so strongly.
It's foreground. It's like I mean, it becomes the focal point of the song at that point.
Yeah.
Instead of just floating in the back like it does in the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. Les Mis came out in 2012, so we weren't too far off.
Thank you.
But at the end of the song, we hear Jun say, "Can you please stay with me?" And what's so great about this is you hear Taeyang respond, "Okay." And he kind of looks at Jun like, yeah, okay. Like, flirty.
Taejun.
Yeah. Taejun. There is a lot of shit moments that happen throughout this whole video. And then we also hear J-Hope at the end go, "Army."
Cute.
So really how we felt at the end of the song, I couldn't help but to reminisce and just appreciate Yoongi's verse over and over and over and over, because I've always loved it. It still to this day is one of his best verses, I think, out of all of his verses in BTS songs.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, for both of us, this is one of our favorite songs still to this day.
Oh yeah.
It's such a good song overall. Like, each single, each part of it really carries its own throughout, and it's just such an enjoyable song to listen to, and really a feel good song. You know, it's a song for any mood that you're in.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
And I think they know it's a classic and they feel nostalgic too, because they're all smiling and clearly enjoying themselves while performing this song.
For sure. So before they perform their next and final song, BTS got onto a public broadcasting app. It was maybe Fan Cafe. I'm not sure. The subtitles just said public broadcasting app. So I have no fucking clue. But on the app, they were going to, or they did, they asked ARMY what our favorite title song choreography is. So J-Hope whips out his phone and he opens up the app and he starts typing and he's speaking out loud and he goes, to our cute ARMY. And then he, so I just love that he put that there. And like, yeah, he called us cute. I'm blushing. So anyways.
He
proceeded to ask what our favorite title song choreography is.
Yeah, after that. And so all of the BTS members, they all chatted about what the answer might possibly be. So they were kind of guessing, saying, oh, maybe Run, I Need You, Fire, Dope, etc. And then Yoongi, he finally stated that maybe it's one of their newer songs since the fan base has grown so much.
Yeah. So during this time when they're all chatting about it, they're waiting for replies to come in. J-Hope has kind of passed his phone around so people can see the different things that ARMY is replying with, which I just think is so cool that we have this like instant back and forth and then they're actually responding and talking about it right then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear if like they're going to do more talk shows like this. I think that was kind of the feeling on Twitter that this was like going to be a new thing, that they're going to do like this BTS talk show. But I don't know. It'd be cool if they did continue this.
It would be really great. Mm-hmm.
Just to get like 3 new live studio version songs every week, that'd be incredible.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was eventually concluded by the fans as Jimin was scrolling through. He was reading off all these different things, but he said overall the most mentioned song was Idol as ARMY's favorite choreography. Mm. So Yoongi was correct in, you know, thinking that it might be a newer song, the newest song.
Mm-hmm. He's smart. Clever man.
Super smart.
So the last song that they performed was I Like It, which was just the cherry on top because it's just such a great song. I really love it. And you really love it too, Kayla. It's just,
I love it.
I feel like I'm being serenaded. So,
it's so
Namjoon.
Good.
For this one, we think that the producers or something told the members that for this last song, as a treat to ARMY, that they all needed to get up at some point and like dance and move. So Namjoon had to be the one to break the ice. And honestly, with how playful and fun he has been this whole time, I felt that this was not a challenge to him. So he's the first one who gets up during his verse. And he is so dorky and cute. I cannot get over how adorable he is throughout all of this. But he is just feeling it and feeling himself and he's having fun. And his cute little smile and his dimples are just shining throughout this whole I Like It performance.
Yes.
But then after him, we have Jungkook, who then gets up. And this boy had to have known what he was doing because
he fucking knew.
He fucking skips. Like, he's like skipping and hopping like a bunny.
Like a baby boy bunny.
he does it in this circle. And it is very cute. And he's got his cute little bunny smile on while he's doing it and singing. And he too is having so much fun.
What's so annoying about this is that he knows that the entire time, the previous 2 songs, he's been sitting on that stool, staring us down, showing us his visuals, looking fucking hot. And then when he gets
in his
up,
his all black outfit, mysterious emo effect that he's giving
mysterious,
us,
quiet, the quiet one. And then he gets up and he's doing this bright beaming smile and literally skipping around being the cutest baby boy. Like, what the fuck is this duality? Like,
all of them do this.
All of them, especially
in their
these
training
performances.
Or some shit.
Seriously. It's just them, really. Like, it's like that's their personality and then they have to show like the super hot side. Like, it's total fan service. Anyways,
we appreciate it though.
We do.
It makes us mad, but we are grateful.
So I have to talk about when Jin, he comes to the front and he does this like, I don't know, like a kind of swimming, like a disco thing. He bares his teeth and it reminds me of like, I don't know, It sounds weird, but like a fish, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But he's just like, ooh. Bears his teeth. Yeah. And
it's
he
silly.
Like, silly. A silly mouth thing. And he takes his hands like really up high, like collarbone level. And he just kind of like waves them forward, like just from his chest. And it's just, it gets me every time. I don't know why. I just think it's really goofy and silly and cute. And
it's,
I love it.
Goofy. Yeah.
Yeah. So next we see and we hear Yoongi's verse, and he's of course laid back, but he also kills the verse and just completely dominates the entire sound stage at this time. Really, like, for this song, for like the serenading, you know, kind of light feel of this song, his verse is so necessary because it's a really hefty, like heavy verse in content and also in the way that he delivers it. So just really enjoy it. It balances the song well.
Yeah. It has a lot of effect on you with, like you said, it's just heavy and it dominates. Yeah. And it's necessary for the song. It really adds to it. So Tae, during his verse, I cannot begin to describe what he is doing for his verse, but people have like tweeted this particular clip like multiple times saying like me like swatting away haters and shit. So Taeyang, he comes to the front and he is just in his own world. He does not give a shit. Like, he just doesn't care. He's being himself. He's having fun. But he does this motion where he's kind of got his fingers all together and pointed. And he's just kind of like, it almost looks like he's dribbling a basketball. But then he like starts moving his whole body and he stiffens up really hard.
He's like tomahawk chopping from the elbow down. Yeah. With both arms, like, at the same time.
He just, like, casually does this while singing his verse, walking across the studio with the camera following him. And
it's great.
What's great is, like, he just looks so silly. And Jungkook's verse comes next. And Jungkook, when the camera pans to him, he is just laughing at what Taeyang is doing because he looks so ridiculous.
He totally does. Then we see J-Hope perform the bridge. And if you don't remember, the bridge in the song is amazing because it's like a mix between his vocals and his rapping. And we just have to appreciate J-Hope's amazing singing voice for what it is, which is so full. And it has that unique tone that his natural like rapping voice carries as well. So it's just, it's bright. It's sunshine. It's like the uplifting part of the song. And we see this big smile on his face where his eyes smile, where his eyes look like little half moons, and his heart-shaped mouth. And he kind of like scrunches up his neck as if his body is kind of caving into his happiness and his smile. And it's just very, very cute.
He's just winning all of our hearts.
Of really? Course. Really? Understatement.
Yeah. We kind of mentioned this briefly before, but in this particular part of the ending here of the performance, we have to point out Taejoon again. Namjoon and Taeyang are just like on the same wavelength or something. Like, this clearly wasn't pre-rehearsed. Like, they're freestyling this whole thing. But these two just constantly looking at each other and like basically doing the same dance moves. We see one part where they literally just like dip down behind, I think, Yoongi or someone who's in front. Like, they do it in unison. But they are, yeah, those two are just having fun. They're in their own world together.
Yeah, for sure.
So just to kind of wrap this one up, how this song makes us feel. For me, I know it always makes me feel warm and fuzzy. We ended up looking up the lyrics of the song, which is actually quite sad and about like a lost love and breakup and going through that and like that still like wanting to be with that person but knowing you're not supposed to be together. But the way that the song sounds, it sounds like they're serenading someone or that they're like trying to like win someone's heart, but that's totally not what it's about. But this song does. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, it's totally about, it's literally each of the rap verses are kind of like piecing apart the ramifications that would come with liking the social media post of an ex and like all that comes with that. But it is very serenade-y. And I think like that's the intention of it. It's just amazing. It's one of the best songs. I love watching this performance.
And
watching them get up and move around and like interact and totally
freestyle dance. They look so happy. They look comfortable. It seems as if they're enjoying themselves and that it's not forced to that they're doing this. They're willingly wanting to be here and that they're happy to be here with us. And seeing them happy, of course, makes us all very happy.
Yeah, of course. So that was pretty much the end of the talk show. Mm-hmm. I think they probably did a little wrap up. And the entire broadcast ended with some more out in the crowd, the army and Seoul, where they were watching videos on the screen. Mm-hmm. But what we haven't gotten back to is the special prize from the BTS kind of like trivia game that they played. Uh-huh. So the special prize was a camera of your, like a fan cam basically, that they would film just that member during one of these three performances. And Taeyang won, but under pressure from the other members and really just his general own thoughtfulness. And, you know, Taeyang loves to do like these like kind, loving gestures to his members. So he gave his prize away to Yoongi for Yoongi's birthday. And Yoongi unwrapped the present, which was a poster, and the poster said that he got his own cam for I Like It. And so we can clearly tell that this was not like the same performance of I Like It that we just talked about, because at the beginning of this clip, they're already all standing up. And during this performance, the most compelling aspect is that all the other members, either they're told to or they just decide that they're going to intentionally serenade Yoongi, like sing right at him. Aww. So let's talk so about sweet. What comes from that. So sweet. So I first just want to say that during Namjoon's verse right at the beginning, Yoongi is just so cute, because he knows that the camera's on him. It's right at the beginning of the song. He's still kind of trying to like be okay with it. He was really not excited about this prize, by the way. Like it was almost like he wished that he had not received it. But he's a really good sport about it. He does this like big smile at Namjoon and kind of like crouches down and puts his hands out, and that's just super super cute, and he's kind of dancing around a little bit.
So one of the things that I really love about this Yoongi cam is I got some really strong Jungkook vibes. Jungkook honestly looked like he was just flirting with Yoongi, and Yoongi was not receiving it very well. But right when Jungkook's actual verse comes, right when he starts it, this is when Yoongi decides to book it. Like, he just starts running away right when Jungkook tries to serenade him. And it's so playful and fun because, of course, Jungkook's like, oh no, and chases after him. And this becomes kind of a common theme. But I got some Jungkook vibes, and I love me Jungkook.
But throughout the rest of the song, Yoongi would randomly decide to just book it around the room, and he would stop in the corners. He would run away, and then he would stop in the corners and do like a little like twist dance, like the twist and shout. He would do the little like squashing a bug with his foot, and then he'd like continue on running. It was just very, very much teasing, very playful. During this running around, one of my absolute favorite parts of the song is when it's Taeyang's verse, and Yoongi had been running away from somebody, I don't even know, and it looks like he's in the clear. It looks like there's nobody around him. And then from out of nowhere, from out of the frame, Taeyang walks in almost like the rest of his body is motionless besides his legs. He's just suddenly there.
He goes very still.
He's very still. And he just gets right up on Yoongi, like a little bit behind him. But their bodies are like practically touching.
Yeah.
Microphone up to his mouth, just intently staring right at
like
Yoongi.
His face is expressionless, no but expression. His stare is intense.
It's hilarious to me that this is how Taeyong is serenading him. It's like, I'm just going to make you super uncomfortable.
The things I would do for Taeyong to do that to me. It's like really a dream of mine. It's so messed up. Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing that's really, really funny is while all of the other members are chasing and trying to catch Yoongi, Jin fucking doesn't try to chase him. He like intercepts him in his path and like straight up bumps into him and trips Yoongi. I don't know if it was on accident, but Yoongi couldn't help but to bust into laughter, and Jin did his like little windshield lie, his windshield laugh. It was so cute.
It was really funny, and I do think it was an accident, but regardless, they played it off well. One thing that I loved is, like you said, he's running all around. He's avoiding everyone. Mm-hmm. But when it's Jimin's verse, Jimin just walks up to him and he collects him. Yoongi stops in his tracks, just hypnotized by the beautiful voice of Park Jimin. And Jimin just, he puts his arm around him and he just kind of led him up to the front of the room. And, you know, for one moment, Yoongi was calm and wasn't trying to to run away. But the kind of the video ends with Yoongi, like he grabs a stool and he pulls it over, and Taeyong is still right there, just staring him down. And the rest of the members,
they all circle around him.
Yeah. To finish the song out. And something that I noticed just this last time that we watched it right before recording is that Taeyong, he was in the shot, he was in the circle, but Hobi kind of stepped in front of him a little bit, so Taeyong just turned around and just started dancing like he had his arms up in the air.
Yeah,
just
he wasn't
back
facing
and forth,
the camera at
not
all
not facing the camera a few feet away from everyone, not in the circle. Then Namjoon like walked over to him and they start kind of dancing together, and then Taeyong points up at the ceiling, talks about something that's up there.
Like, what?
Gets Namjoon
to
look.
What is he possibly talking about?
And then they're like, they like talk, they say something and kind of shrug and walk away. And Taeyong does all of this and then all of a sudden steps back into the circle just in perfect time to sing his last few lines. Yeah. Like, I don't know why, but this is just hilarious to me. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, there's something going on.
It was really funny, and I'm surprised we didn't notice it until this last time that we were watching.
I know.
But it's hard to miss, and it really is just... he's in his own world. He's great. He's a character.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, so that's pretty much all we have for you this week, you guys.
That was a hefty episode. I'm surprised it ended up being that long, but I'm glad it was. It was
a combination
so
of a lot of different topics, and we had to talk about Persona.
I was really excited to do this episode because I was like, this is going to be a random cluster of like fangirl and facts and new content that's coming out. And
me too. And I was glad to finally figure out what the fuck Armypedia is. And, you know, now we can use that as a resource anytime and go back and listen to these amazing live studio versions of these songs anytime.
Uh-huh. And a big thank you to all of the armies who did participate in Armypedia and unveiling all of these 2,080 puzzle pieces that we now all, us armies, have this collection of BTS memories and history.
Yeah, just super cool. Thank you guys. So if you enjoyed this episode, or if you have enjoyed any of our previous episodes, there are a few things that we would very kindly ask you to do for us. One, just let us know. Like, we love getting emails from you guys. We love, you know, you contact us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. We don't care. But when you reach out, when we hear your stories, when we get to talk to you, it's literally the best part of our week. It's so incredible, the people that we get to talk to. And we would love to hear from you, even if it doesn't pertain to this episode or whatever. Let us know. You can also write a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That's huge. It helps people find us and it builds the prospect of us getting sponsors. So also thank you guys so much for all the kind reviews that we've gotten so far. And again, reach out to us on social media or via email, and you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.